Clearly those sushi arrangements are Swedish and authentic, perfectly January. Let's just trim out our mouth with them.
First of all, to heavy hearts to dedicate the Shirley Nish Mustai Lopin, who are like many Tamils, we all feel extremely bereft by the very, very shocking news. Torah of him is everything, so we dedicate the Shirley Nish Mustai. Parshas Truma. I'd like to begin actually with a very famous chazal, which is brought, it's like Magmar in Brochus, was actually brought in Parshas Pekudeh. We know that the Mishkan was constructed by Bezalel. Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, Mat Yehuda, Arses Kol Asher, Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, Mat Yehuda, also did Eis Kol Asher, Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Everything that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. So, it doesn't say everything that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Bezalel, everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. So Rashi picks up on this and says the implication is that Bezalel did that which Hashem had commanded Moshe. In other words, as follows. So Rashi says that Asher Tziva Oso Moshe Ein Kasiva. It doesn't say that he did all that which Moshe commanded him. He did all that which Hashem had commanded Moshe. So Asher Tziva Oso Moshe Ein Kasiv Kan, and Akad Asher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. It says everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. That implies that Bezalel was able to understand that which Hashem had commanded Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu had not passed on directly to him. Says Rashi, Afrid of Rabbi Shalom Alei Rabbi, even the items which Moshe Rabbeinu had not instructed him, his schema daita. Nonetheless, his mind was in tune, the Mashanem on the Moshe Mishinai, for that which Moshe Rabbeinu had been told in Hasinai. As follows. Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Bezalel to first make the Kelim and then the Mishkan, and the Inyan Tzibonis, etc. But he turns around to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, this isn't the right way. First we should make the Mishkan, the house, and then the Kelim. So, and Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and said, you're right. That is exactly what Hashem said to me. Betel Kel Hayisa, you were in the shadow of Hashem, as it were, therefore you have responded in a way that corresponds to what Hashem said to me. That's why the Pasuk says, Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. He did that which Hashem had commanded Moshe, even though Moshe Ben himself had not passed on the command to Betelah. So that is is Gemara in Brochus, and it's brought in Parshas Pekudeh, but of course it's relevant for our Parsha as well, because in our Parsha we have the design plan, the architect's plan for the Mishkan. But here we're told, when Bezalel actually was instructed by Moshe Rabbeinu, he was told, make the Kelim first, then the Mishkan. And he says, no, first we make the Mishkan, and then the Kelim. So a very famous Chazal, quite a difficult Chazal to understand. Many ask the Kashas on it, that how can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu gave an instruction different to the one that Bezalel and Hashem gave him? And besides, as we find in this week's parasha, they didn't make it consecutively. They didn't first make the one and then the other. They made it all simultaneously. Different artisans, it seems, working on different aspects of the Mishkan. So what does it mean that Bezalel said to Moshe, challenged Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bezalel was correct, and his understanding was more in tune with the command of Hashem than the instruction of Moshe Rabbeinu? We will come back to that. Let's come back to our parasha. But I'd like to share with you a medrash which is brought, Tzidnei Amos Liakim quotes it, to Medrash Rabbah, as follows. On the Psukim, on the Pasuk, Yichon Li Truma. B'noik Shabo'ilam, this is what the Medrash says. It is the custom of the world, Adam Lokei Chayfet, it's the practice of humanity. A person buys an item in a shuk. Shema Yochon Lignos Balov, do you buy the vendor with it? Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nosan Tod Yisrael, gives a Tod to Kaisel, V'Oymen Ahem, he says to them, Kavi Yochel Li Atem Lokim, you take me with it. I've given you the Torah, but I come with it. Normally, you purchase something or you're given a gift, you leave the vendor or the donor behind. Here, we're told, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Li Atem Lochim, you're taking me with it. As it says, Vayichu Li Truma. Vayichu Li Truma. And you take Truma for me. So some or other implication, almost as though the words, Vayichu Li, the Kodesh Baruch Hu came with the actual Torah itself. So first of all, it's difficult to understand what the raya is from this pasuk. When Hashem gave the Torah, so he gave himself with it. And of course, it's difficult to understand what does it mean. When Hashem gave the Torah, so we took him with it as well. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Sefer Tifnei Rabbi Yaakov, explains a very beautiful idea. How does it work? If you think about it, in this week's parasha, there were many unique moments. Many unique moments. In a more trivial sense, of course, this was the first ever charitable appeal in the whole of Jewish history. Right? What was also unique about it is it was oversubscribed. I don't think that's ever happened again since. We're still looking for that formula ourselves. But of course, at this moment, this was the first time that a human being was able to take a mundane item, a piece of wood, or a piece of gold, or a piece of silver, or a piece of material, and invest in that item with Kedusha, and that item was then transferred forever, transformed forever. It was never the same again. The ability of a human being to be makdish an item transforms it forever. We know if it is then violated, there's an issur of me'ilah, and mezid, and mitasraat, it carries a lav, a malchus, but even b'shogeg, it carries a korban, and a fine that goes with it. It's transformed forever. A human being can take an everyday item of this world and dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's never the same again. It's a remarkable idea. So where does it come from? What's the koyach of a human being to do that? So he quotes from the end of Me'ilah, the Rambam end of Me'ilah. It's a very long paragraph, the Rambam end of Me'ilah, where the Rambam is actually using Me'ilah as a model to help us appreciate mitzvahs. But in that, he says the following words, Kiven shenekru aleim shem odon ha'olam. Since this item has now had proclaimed upon it the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Asan hanes mehem, therefore it becomes prohibited to have benefit from it. Now, then he adds these words, this is not from Rambam, Heim boim mekoyach ha'odam shenivra b'telem. What capacity, what gives the human being the capacity to create Kedusha in this world? Because a human being has been created B'Tselem Elokim. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us an aspect of himself within us, that means that we are imbued with Kedusha. Once we are imbued with Kedusha, we have the ability to then transfer Kedusha and transform an item by virtue of so doing. But there's a caveat that comes with it. That is only when we do it in the right way, as the Torah prescribes, as we were instructed at Matan Torah. Because it was really when the Torah gave us the instructions to how to create Kedusha in this world. As long as we follow that instruction and do it as the Torah prescribes, then the innate koyach, the innate Kedusha within ourselves, gives us the koyach to transform an item and transform it permanently. Now, and therefore that's what it means, that's what Medrash means. When we see that we are able to donate to the Torah, when we see we are able to take a mundane item and dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash, and that works, that demonstrates to us that we have within us a chelek elokeinu mamal. We have within us an aspect of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because it's only by virtue of that aspect of Kodesh Baruch Hu within us that we then have the koyach to transfer Kedusha onto this particular item. As long as we do it the way the Torah prescribes. Therefore says the Medrash, since you can take an item and give it Kedusha, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, where's the proof that I came with by Yichud Nitruma? Where's the proof that I came with by Yichud Nitruma? I must say, I've been through this piece many times, and I'm not sure whether he's actually, the Medrash appears to be tying it into the language. Whereas if I've understood correctly, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is, it's more the process. The very process that you can do this is indicative itself, a proof that there is Kedusha within. If there's Kedusha within, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave part of himself to us, and therefore when he gave us the Torah, then an aspect of him came with. But it also seems to be the language itself, somewhere within the language itself. Vayichuni, they took me, and therefore you could create Truma because I came with. Now, if we understand it in those terms, then it really gives us a new appreciation of what it means to create Hegdush in this world. There's a total reclassification of the item. The item is transformed. It's not the same as it was before. If we could examine it under a spiritual electron microscope, we would see that its makeup is now different. Its whole molecular structure is now different. It now has Kedusha within it. In fact, in those terms, Sir Miyako Kamenetsky explains the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara talks about, we know the famous principle, Malim Bekodesh V'Ein Meridin. If you have an item which has a high level of Kedusha, you can't reduce its level of Kedusha. Simplest example, you've got a klaf which has been used for a Sefer Torah, so you can't then use it for Tefillin, right? You can't use it for Tefillin instead, because the Sefer Torah is at a higher level, and the Tefillin is at a lower level. Interestingly enough, the Gemara asks a kasha, an intriguing kasha. Is it definite that you are allowed to elevate an item from a lower level of Kedusha to a higher level of Kedusha? Gemara in Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes, is it definite that you can take an item which was at a lower level of Kedusha, a klaf for Tefillin, then elevate that klaf for a Sefer Torah? Now, in fact, the Gemara brings a raya from Parshas Korach. In Parshas Korach, the machtos that were used to ascertain the true leadership, what happened to them? They were then subsequently incorporated into the structure of the Mizbeach. So before they were kelim that were utilized to service the Mizbeach, and then they became part of the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, that's the raya, that you can take an item which was previously less kadosh and elevate it. But Frank Riaka Kamenetsky, as part of a whole analysis here, it ought to be a double poshut. I mean, if you could take an item which was previously mundane and give it kedusha, doesn't it follow axiomatically you can take an item which was already kadosh and elevate it to a high level of kedusha? Why do we need to have a poshut to teach us that you can take an item and elevate its kedusha? Isn't it obvious you can do so? So he says it depends how you understand the kedusha. If we understand that kedusha creates a new classification, it's a brand new item in this world. It's not what it once was. It's almost like an yesh miayin kedusha in this world. It's a new classification, a new status. Then it's not so straightforward that you can change its status. I don't know much about planning laws, but like changing the state of the use in planning law from one classification to another. It's a new classification. This item is a new item. So therefore, if you were to add to it, it's not adding to it, you are changing its classification. Who says you can change its classification? When you add his words. The essence of kedusha is built on the higher understanding. And every classification is a completely new classification. Therefore, it doesn't follow automatically that you can just change its classification. If it was simply a question of adding more, then why shouldn't you be able to add more? But now we've defined that the method of classification gives us a whole new status. It doesn't follow so automatically that you can change the classification completely. And so he brings other rias as well. That explains why the Gemara has to bring a proof that you are allowed to elevate its kedusha. Because it's not just elevation, it's a complete transformation of its classification. If we come back, I actually want to add, I really should have given this shiur a title. The title is going to be Two Hidden Components of Klal Yisrael brought to the construction of the Mishkan. This is the first. The fact that we have this Chelek HaKayim Mimal within us allows us to create Kedusha. If we come back to the first Kasha, this Medrash of Betzalel. So the Sefer at home, which is Nesivos Al HaTorah. Nesivos Al HaTorah. And he asked these various Kashas as to other Mefarshim. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu gave a different instruction from the instruction of Betzalel? And what does it mean that Betzalel was more in tune with the return of Hashem, as it were, or so the Medrash seems, than Moshe Rabbeinu? So he says as follows, and it really stims, it fits very nicely with Nachum Kamenetsky. Everything has a requisite level of Kedusha. Everything that has to be done in Shema has a requisite level of Kedusha. That we know. And one has to understand its nature in order to be invest in it, its requirements, its requisite level of Kedusha. Imagine you're going into a shop to purchase a pair of tefillin. And you buy a pair of tefillin. On your way out, you say to the mocher, you know what, I need a new tefillin bag, I'll buy a new tefillin bag as well. Okay? That's a sensible sequence of purchase. Would you go into a shop and say, you know what, I need a new tefillin bag. You know what, I might as well buy some new tefillin as well. You wouldn't do that. It would be, first of all, ridiculous. And secondly, it would be a denigration of the kedusha tefillin. Because clearly one is ikar and one is tefillin. One is primary and one is secondary. And to purchase the secondary, and a byword, as a agav, to then ask for the primary, what? Afterthoughts, thank you. Then go for the primary, be ridiculous. So he says as follows, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that everything in the Mishkan had its level of Kedusha, had its sug miyuchot, its classification of Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu, being Moshe Rabbeinu, understood the very highest level of Kedusha that an item could have. He understood the Aron HaKodesh, he understood the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when he came to ask Betzalel to construct a Mishkan, given his level of understanding and who he was, it would have been inappropriate for him to have said, you know what, build a Mishkan and then put the Aron HaKodesh in. Because given who he was, the Mishkan was a much lower level than the Aron HaKodesh. And he understood that immediately. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to ask for the primary item. And then, having asked the primary item, discussed the construction of the Kelim, of not the bag, because they also had a Kedusha, but the other aspects that surrounded it. But Tzadol turns around to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, that's all very well for you, but we don't understand yet what the Mishkan is. We've got to understand what the Mishkan is, what the Menorah is, what the Shulchan is. We've got to understand it stage by stage. We can only understand the Kedusha of the Aron once we go through the various different levels that lead and indeed create the Kedusha of the Aron. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you're absolutely right, quite right. For you at your level, that's an appropriate methodology. For me, at my level, I couldn't ask it any other way. But Tzel Kel HaYisa, you were in the shadow of Hashem. That means you were slightly one removed from the way that I understand it. But therefore, the way that you asked was appropriate for you, and the way that I asked was appropriate for me. Both are correct. So, and therefore, that's what the Medrash means. About HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu in the way that they had to be given to Betzalel. But he had to ask in the way that was appropriate for him, given his level of understanding. That's one aspect of this. One aspect in terms of that what Klal Yisrael understood and contributed to Melechas HaMishkan was the fact that they were now able to create Kedusha in this world. There's another aspect as well, which is related. And I've always had the question, you know, we all know that the Beis HaMikdash was eventually destroyed for Sinas Chilul. Well known. The question I always had, or many for many years had, was that a direct or indirect correlation? Was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash a direct or indirect correlation of Sinas Chilul? What do I mean? Let's imagine you have to punish a child. There's a direct punishment, indirect punishment. A child takes a toy and hits another child with a toy, and you then confiscate the toy. That's a direct punishment. The child takes a toy and hits another child with a toy, and then you cancel their party, or their parties forevermore. That's an indirect punishment. There's no direct correlation between the action that the child did and your response to that action. It's an indirect correlation. So my question was always, we say the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for Sinas Chinuch. Was that a direct or indirect correlation between the two? In other words, was there something in the very essence of Sinas Chinam that corroded the Beis HaMikdash? Or was it Hashem said, you know what, you don't deserve it, therefore I'm taking it away. But it's not because of Sinas Chinam per se. So I'd like to share with you that there's a very, very long Malbim on this week's Parsha, in his Torah Mitzvahs, and I must say, I haven't gone through all of it. And some of it is very esoteric. But within that Malbim, the Malbim describes that basically the Ovos, prior to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ovos were a Merkava L'Shekhinah. That means to say that they were the vehicle for the manifestation of the Shekhinah on this world. And the Ovos had such Kedusha between them and within them that they literally, as he puts it, they brought down the Shekhinah in this world simply by virtue of their internal Kedusha. After the Ovos, there weren't personalities able to do this. But the accumulated spiritual strength of Klal Yisrael at that moment in time of Matan Torah and post-Matan Torah, that accumulated strength of Klal Yisrael, that accumulated spirituality of Klal Yisrael, was sufficient to create enough Kedusha also to bring down Shekhinah into this world. He likens it to candles and a flame. Each candle by itself is relatively minuscule. Bring the candles together and you create a larger flame. Similarly as well, each member of Klal Yisrael was not sufficient or able to bring down Shekhinah into this world, but bringing the accumulated strength of Klal Yisrael created enough Kedusha that the Shekhinah could come down into this world. And therefore, and the Mokim from the Shekhinah, which coalesced and created this togetherness of Klal Yisrael, was the Beis HaMikdash, was the Mishkan. That's what it was. In fact, one can always say it this way, but it doesn't quite mean it this way. It's almost as though it's not that the building created the Shekhinah. It's that the opportunity for Shekhinah created the building. It's not that the building created the Shekhinah, the building and then the Shekhinah came. It was the opportunity for Shekhinah, which was a result of the strength of Klal Yisrael, it's that that created the Shekhinah, and the building brought it all together. If we understand it that way, then we understand that a fundamental prerequisite for these highest levels of Kedusha within Klal Yisrael has got to be the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. It's got to be, now this is where my interpretation of the Malbim, but it's got to be that, or it follows from the Malbim, it's got to be the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, because Ke'ir Shechubrochot La'yachdo, that's what the Yerushalayim has described as. It's the place which brings Klal Yisrael together. When Klal Yisrael are brought together in this way, then their strength is such that Shekhinah is in this world, and it happens in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, a prerequisite for the highest levels of Kedusha has got to be also the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, the unity of Klal Yisrael, the working together of Klal Yisrael. Then you have this coalescence which creates the Kedusha sufficient for Shekhinah in this world. If that is the case, then it follows automatically that where there is Sinas Chinam, where there is division amongst Klal Yisrael, then everything unravels. It all falls apart because you lose that sense of unity, everything becomes disparate, and Klal Yisrael can no longer create the Kedusha in this world that's necessary to create Shekhinah. I'd like to do something which I don't normally do when I have the privilege of standing in front of this audience, which is to suggest an idea that occurred to me, and you'll judge it on its own merits. But it's an observation, really, which goes in the same theme. So basically, the theme being that in that aspect of Klal Yisrael within themselves, we have to create the highest levels of Kedusha, but also have to have the highest levels of Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael, because one without the other will not create what's required. And very interesting observations at the end of Parshas Yisro and the Farshim ask about this. You have the Aseret HaDibros and the face-to-face encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After Seis HaDibros, there are several mitzvahs. And they're mitzvahs which at first sight appear to be, what shall I say, an unusual selection of mitzvahs immediately following the Seis HaDibros. So you've got in Parashas Yisro, Perek Chof, your test. You've got the instructions about the kruvim. The kruvim can't be made out of silver. You can't make more than two kruvim. Then you've got instructions about mizbach adoma and mizbach avonim. And then you've got losale for malos and mizbachi. Right, so you've got a mitzvah about the kruvim, a mitzvah about the mizbachos, and a mitzvah about creating a ramp and not creating steps on the mizbach. And it seems like an unusual selection of mitzvahs that are placed here. And there are various pashtim, but this is an observation that once occurred to me. These are all mitzvahs that appertain to the base of Middash, the highest levels of Kedusha. The Keruvim, the Kedusha Kedoshim, the Mizbeach, and the Ram, the highest levels of Kedusha. Yet within each of these, there seems to be a dimension or a communication about Meinav Lachaber. The Keruvim Vishtetzach, the Keruvim are in the Kedusha Kedoshim, but they are facing each other. They are a symbol of Meinav Lachaber. The Mizbeach, Rashi says, Mizbeach Avonim, the Torah says, not allowed to use Lo Sivn Esen Gozis. Not allowed to use anything, a sharp instrument. And Rashi brings a Kal Vachomer. Why? Because the Mizbeach creates shalom between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, it's inappropriate to use the sword. Kal Vachomer, somebody who creates shalom between one person and another, will be immune from the sword, immune from danger. So, if the Mizbeach, which creates shalom between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is immune or protected from the sword, we, when we create shalom between us, are also protected from the sword. So again, you seem to have, within this aspect of Menon Lamakim, a very powerful reminder of the importance of Menon Lachaber as well. And then finally, in terms of Losal of Manos and Mizbechi, so again, Rashi brings that why was it so critical that there was a ramp and not steps? So that the Kohen Gadol, when they ascended the ramp, their legs didn't show. It would be bizoyan for the inanimate Mizbeach. And says Rashi, again, a Kal Vachomer, if we have to be careful about the covered of something inanimate, how much more do we have to be careful about the covered of another human being? So it struck me in terms of observation that here you've got the Matan Torah, Har Sinai. Matan Torah, Har Sinai, the highest level we can ever reach. And then you've got the beginnings of the instructions for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mishkan, where we're going to have this fusion between ourselves and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And perhaps one can say that over here there was a reminder that what is it, what's the other component necessary to create the levels of Kedusha that require? It's got to be the highest levels of Benam Lachavero as well. Without the highest levels of Benam Lachavero, then the whole thing is going to disintegrate, the whole thing is going to unravel, the whole thing is going to corrode. You won't be able to have that. And therefore there's a reminder over there that the two things go together. Of course it's very telling, as the Ramban, the beginning of his parasha says, that the whole essence of the Mishkan, the whole purpose of the Mishkan was Har Sinai in miniature. The Mishkan was Har Sinai in miniature. That which Klal Yisrael experienced at Har Sinai was captured in the Mishkan in miniature. And he even relates to Pesukim in terms of that. How the Pesukim that describe Har Sinai, the covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as God knows, those Pesukim are the similar Pesukim in the construction of the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was Har Sinai in miniature. And it suggests that the reason why the Keruvim and various other items were in gold, because it reminded us of the Eish of Har Sinai. So that's what the Mishkan, therefore, if it was a Matan Torah where we achieved this incredible level of Kodesh Baruch Hu, from Matan Torah we took two things: an understanding now of our own ability to create Kedusha, assuming it's done in the right way, and a powerful reminder that to create Kedusha we have to have the highest levels of Menem HaKadosh as well. So I'd like to finish with a short story that's actually brought Rabbi Yaakov Zminsky, as that tell, brings it, actually in last week's parasha and in this week's parasha. But it's a powerful reminder that that we only create the highest levels of Kedusha amongst us when we have the highest level of Achdus between us. And the story is brought about the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was going to a wedding of a Talmud of his. It was a local wedding, and those days the wedding didn't take a big hall, but, you know, it was in one of the family houses, and apparently didn't fly, you know, 25 brachim across from overseas in the middle of Zman either in those days. But a few brachim went with the Chofetz Chaim to the wedding. And they see the Chofetz Chaim going into the kitchen before the seder starts and coming out. Then they see him doing the Netilas Yadayim and taking an absolute minimum shear for the Netilas Yadayim. Minimum shear. And filling it up for the brachim after him. And the brachim obviously followed suit. And one of the brachim, it seems, had the temerity not just to ask him but to almost challenge a bit and say to him, but Rebbe, straight in Gemara, a person is particular about the Netilas Yadayim and uses a proper shear, a full shear, then it's a segula for Ashuras. So why didn't the Chofetz Chaim used the full shear. So he said to him, you think I was going into the kitchen to check the kashrus, you're wrong. I wasn't going to the kitchen to check the kashrus, I was going into the kitchen to check who was schlepping the water from the well. It transpired that the person schlepping the water from the well was an almana, a widow, and her daughter. He says, on the account of an almana and her daughter, I'm not going to become rich. I'm not going to become rich. In other words, that where the highest levels of Kedusha go together with the highest levels of B'nam L'Chavero, because one facilitates the other and one creates the other. We should be Zocha to achieve that.